नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय हरे कृष्ण टुडे मॉर्निंग वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 8 चैप्टर 12 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड मोहिनी मूर्ति बिबिल्डर्स लॉर्ड शिवा टेक्स्ट नंबर 12 अवतारा मया दृष्टा रमा मानस्य ते गुणे सोहं तद्रश्यतुम इच्छामि सोहं तद्रष्टुम इच्छामि यत्ते योषेद्वपुर्द्रुतम् Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. My Lord, I have seen all kinds of incarnations you have exhibited by your transcendental qualities. And now that you have appeared as a beautiful young woman, I wish to see that form of your Lordship. Purport. When Lord Shiva approached Lord Vishnu inquired about the purpose for Lord Shiva's coming there. Now Lord Shiva discloses his desire. He wanted to see the recent incarnation of Mohini Murti, which Lord Vishnu had assumed to distribute the nectar generated from the churning of the ocean of milk. Om Agya. My Lord, I have seen all kinds of incarnations you have exhibited by your transcendental qualities. And now that you have appeared as a beautiful young woman, I wish to see that form of your Lordship. Although all pastimes of the Lord are very exciting and very instructive, this pastime of Mohini Murti, bewildering Lord Shiva, is also a little sobering for us. This is a pastime through which the Lord is teaching us that we can't be playing around with Maya. Devi esha gunamai mama maya duratyaya, insurmountable. Lord's material energy is insurmountable, and you know, tiny living entities like ourselves, we cannot surpass on our own efforts. And of course, we should also clarify that Lord Shiva was not bewildered by some Tom, Dick and Harry ordinary woman, or maybe we can put it as Lord Shiva was not bewildered by some Ramba, Urvashi or Menka of this world, of this universe. He was bewildered by none other than Lord Vishnu, Sakshat Vishnu, who appeared as Mohini Murti. But still, both of them, Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu, are teaching us to beware of Maya. And we can't say, let me see how Maya is powerful, let me see how deadly it is, how deadly she is. We may see a very attractive and sensuous looking poster of a movie, and we can't, after the first glance, think that, oh, it is so bad, let me again see it, how bad it is. And the moment we do that, a movie, internet, pornography, we are sucked in before we realize, and it will be too late. Radhashyam Prabhu nicely analyzes our falling victim to Maya. He says, the first glance is innocent. The first glance of the sense objects of the opposite sex is innocent. But the second glance is where the danger is, and that is deliberate. First glance is innocent, second glance is deliberate, and the third glance, victim. You are already become a victim. Third glance, you have no control. So, till a certain point, we can discriminate with our intelligence and we can avoid. But after some point of time, the modes take over, the lower modes take over. Therefore, a devotee, sadhaka, has to be very careful to avoid the influence of sense objects before it's too late. And the only way we can survive this onslaught of Maya in this material world is only through two ways. First is we take full shelter of Krishna. When we say shelter, we should emphasize that this taking shelter is beyond our intellectual prowess. We are not talking about some intellectual formula of taking shelter where we have an acronym, and we have all those things and we learn. But actually taking shelter is beyond simply intellectually knowing some things, memorizing and intellectually knowing many things will not help at a certain after a certain point of time. It's exclusive shelter of Krishna and Krishna's holy names that can save us. Having said that, the second point is even more important, and that is Krishna's causeless mercy, which is independent of our endeavor. So we have to exclusively take shelter of Krishna, and if we survive the attacks of Maya, we have to thank Krishna that it is Krishna's causeless mercy, not my ability to take shelter. His Holiness Subhag Swami Maharaj was saying, when he was a young brahmachari, he asked Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada, when will this lust go away from our heart of sadhakas? And Srila Prabhupada immediately said, it will never go away. So he was very sad. And on another occasion, he asked Srila Prabhupada once again, Prabhupada, when can a sadhaka get rid of the enemy of lust from his heart? And Srila Prabhupada once again said, it will not go away. But he didn't give up. And so third time he asked Srila Prabhupada again in Mayapur, Prabhupada, this lust is the biggest enemy of a sadhaka. When will this lust go away? And Srila Prabhupada said, he just said one word. He said, Govinda Icha, Krishna desires, it will happen. So we have no control over when Krishna will free us from this deadly enemy, but from our side, we have to take exclusive shelter. Because lust is the biggest, not only the biggest enemy, it is the biggest embarrassment for a sadhaka, especially those who preach and those who may speak on lofty principles, and we ourselves might struggle with this anartha. So it's a very humbling and sobering reality. Therefore, a shelter, when you talk of shelter, which being the only way we can cope with this deadly enemy, maybe till the point of death, prak sharira vimokshana, we may have to struggle till the very point we give up our bodies. Shelter essentially means chanting with feeling, and substantiating our chanting and substantiating our claims of wanting pure devotional service with practical service to the spiritual master and his mission. So absorption in this service to the spiritual master and his mission will help devotees build a strong foundation in Krishna consciousness. And that helps us tolerate the urges of lust and other anarthas. And today we can see one such example of a devotee who was absorbed in Guru Seva. And also through his pastime we can learn about how we can also be absorbed in devotional service. Today is the most auspicious disappearance day of Srila Ishwarapuri. So on this occasion, we can discuss some pastimes of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sri Ishwarapuri and get purified and increase our resolve and commitment to practice pure devotional service. First, let us understand who is Srila Ishwarapuri. To understand Srila Ishwarapuri's position, we need to know who is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Yadadvaitam Brahmo Upanishadi Tadapasya tanubha yo atmantaryami purusha iti so syamsha vibhava shadaishwarya purno yahya bhagavan sa swayamayam na chaitanyat krishna jagati paratattvam param hiya. Kaviraj Goswami in a very poetic way describes who is Lord Chaitanya. Yad advaitam brahmopanishadi tadapasya tanubha. That Brahman, whom the Advaitavadis worship as the Supreme, that is emanation from Lord Chaitanya's body. It's an effulgence coming from the Lord's body. Yo atmantar yami purusha iti so syamsha vibhava. And the Paramatma which the yogis worship and meditate upon, that Paramatma is nothing but an expansion of Lord Chaitanya. Shadashwarya purno yaya bhagavan sa swayam vayam. This Lord Chaitanya is full in six opulences and is the supreme personality of Godhead. Na Chaitanyat Krishna Jagati Paratattvam Paramya. There is no difference between Lord Chaitanya and Lord Krishna, and Lord Chaitanya is the Param Tattva, the supreme absolute truth. And this supreme absolute truth, Lord Chaitanya served and took initiation from Sri Ishwarapuri. Who is Ishwarapuri is the devotee of Lord Chaitanya, and we can see Ishwarapuri's position, that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is taking initiation from him and accepting him as his own spiritual master. Of course, this also reveals Lord Chaitanya's own position of how he is the servant of his own devotee. Ishwarapuri was one of the favorite disciples of Srila Madhavendra Puri. Madhavendra Puri was traveling with his disciples and Ishwarapuri was one of them, and it was in the western province of India where Ishwarapuri met Lord Nityananda Prabhu. And there both of them, they chanted and danced in great joy, and they became the best and the closest of friends. They were God brothers. Nityananda Prabhu was also a disciple of Srila Madhavendra Puri. And who is Nityananda Prabhu? Maya Bharta Janda Sangashayanga Shete Sakshat Karanam Bodhi Madhye Esekamsha Shri Pumanadi Devas Tam Shri Nityananda Ramam Prapadye. Kaviraj Goswami says, he is the master of Maya, Maya Bharta Janda Sangashayanga. And all universes are coming from his bodily pores. He is the cause of Karanudakshaya Vishnu. Karanudakshaya Vishnu is the Karan, cause of this material universe. And he is the cause. Tam Shri Nityananda Ramam Prabhu. Esse Kamsha Shri Pumanadi Devas. And all the other incarnations are simply coming from his bodily pores. He is the Supreme Lord. Tam Shri Nityananda Ramam Prapadye. For the Supreme Lord Nityananda, Supreme Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they were most intimate associates of, or they were associated, or Ishwara Puri were rather associating with both of them. So we can see his most glorious position, how he had wonderful loving exchanges with Nityananda Prabhu also and with Lord Chaitanya also. So this is Ishrila Ishwara Puri. And what was his qualification? That also we need to know. During the last stages of his life, Srila Madhavendra Puri, the spiritual master of Sri Ishwara Puri, was feeling great separation from Lord Krishna. And in great separation, he was chanting, "Oh, my dear Lord of Mathura, where are you? When will I see you again? I'm feeling great lamentation. What shall I do now? Mathura Nath Kadava Lokyase, where are you? I cannot see you. And what should I do now? Please tell me." He was lamenting like this in great transcendental ecstasy. But one of his disciples, Ramchandra Puri, very foolishly, he criticized his Guru Maharaj, Srila Madhavendra Puri, and chastised him, saying that, "Why are you crying? When you are dying, you should be meditating on the absolute truth. You should not be crying. You should not be sad. You should be happy." So he was thinking he can correct his own spiritual master, and Madhavendra Puri was very, very unhappy. And he chastised Ramchandra Puri and told him to get out and said, "I am condemned if I see you as I am leaving my body." And he wanted to increase more and more his favorable remembrance of Krishna, and Ramchandra Puri was an obstruction. So he banished him. And Ramchandra Puri is a good example for us to know at how we should avoid criticism of Vaishnavas. This is actually a cyclical effect. You know, first it's a chain reaction. We see faults in Vaishnavas, then we eventually start criticizing them, and once we criticize them, we find more faults, and then we might find more faults, we criticize more, and what is the final result? We start finding faults with our own spiritual master. This is what Ramchandra Puri did. And not only, and after we find faults with spiritual master, what happens? We don't stop there. Then more criticism, more faults of spiritual master, and finally, as Ramchandra Puri, we find faults with the Supreme Lord himself. Ramchandra Puri found faults in Lord Chaitanya. So there's a chain reaction. He was contaminated by this disease of criticizing Vaishnavas. And in stark contrast to Ramchandra Puri was another disciple of Sri Madhavendra Puri, Srila Ishwara Puri, who served Ishwara Puri in his last days, who served Srila Madhavendra Puri with his own hands. Srila Ishwara Puri cleaned the stool and urine from his spiritual master's body. And he was feeling very grateful for the opportunity to serve his spiritual master. And he was considering this as a benediction, as a mercy of his spiritual master that he could serve him during his last days. And Ishwara Puri was constantly chanting the holy names of Krishna and reciting pastimes from Srimad Bhagavatam by which his spiritual master could remember Krishna more and more in his final days. And because of this, Madhavendra Puri, he wept in great affection to see the service of his disciple, beloved disciple Srila Ishwara Puri. And in great affection, he embraced him before leaving this world and bestowed the benediction upon him, saying that, "May you achieve pure love of Krishna." It was at this point of time that same love for Krishna, which was there in Madhavendra Puri's heart, now began manifesting in Srila Ishwara Puri's heart. Because he had pleased his spiritual master, so that mercy, that love for Krishna entered his heart. Many times we say we want mercy, we are eager for mercy. What is mercy actually? It's not some transmission of some electric current or something esoteric. Mercy simply means when we please a Vaishnava, the joy that Vaishnava feels in his heart because of the service we have done, that is a mercy that we have got. And that gives us taste in bhakti. So, and that's why, you know, Srila Prabhupada's many disciples, they would not even meet Prabhupada many times, but they would know that if they did book distribution, if they doubled it, as Srila Prabhupada said, or if they did some service for Prabhupada, and Prabhupada would hear the reports in some other corner of the world, and he would feel great joy. And when Prabhupada would feel great joy, the disciples automatically would feel happy. This is transcendental happiness. The person who is serving feels great joy in giving pleasure to his spiritual master. And when the spiritual master experiences great happiness, that is also transcendental, that is spiritual. And both of them, they are working on a spiritual platform. That is what is happening when devotees, disciples, they go out of their way to please the spiritual master. That is the meaning of mercy. And so therefore we can see Ishwara Puri, he was serving menially his spiritual master, therefore he could get all the mercy, he could get the love of his spiritual master, and he could get love for Radha and Krishna. Philosophically, we may know all the scriptures, all the shlokas, they can be spoken, but they can be understood only by the quality of humility and humble service attitude. And this is the qualification which Sri Ishwara Puri had. So these are the two things. Who is Srila Ishwara Puri and what are his qualifications? Now we can briefly also discuss how Srila Ishwara Puri comes to Navadvip. Now when Ishwara Puri came to Navadvip, that time Navadvip was having an environment of scholarship. Everybody was a great scholar, was debating, and was a victim of false pride. And they were worshipping demigods. People did not accept the chanting of the holy names of Krishna. And Lord Chaitanya, in his pastime as Nimaya Pandit, was also a great scholar. And devotees would feel happy and sad both in the association of Lord Chaitanya. They would feel happy because he's the Supreme Lord, and they would feel great ecstasy. At the same time, they would feel sad because Lord Chaitanya was exhibiting the pastime of a proud scholar. So they wanted him to be a devotee. In fact, one devotee once told Nimaya Pandit, "What will your scholarship do at the time of death?" And Lord Chaitanya, in the role of Nimaya Pandit, said, "Yes, thank you for this. One day I will become a devotee." And after a few days, after this incident, was when Ishwara Puri came to Navadvip. And Ishwara Puri came, he dressed like a mendicant, a beggar, with tattered clothes. And he lived very simply. And he went to Advaita Acharya's house. And he was just staying outside the house. And Advaita Acharya saw this amazing, striking personality and kept gazing at him intensely for a long time. And finally, Advaita Acharya asked, "My dear sir, who are you? What is your name?" And Ishwara Puri said, "I am the lowest of Shudras. I am the most fallen. And I have simply come here to take darshan of your lotus feet." As he said this, Mukunda Dutt, he knew. Even Advaita Acharya knew that he is not an ordinary person. So Mukunda Dutt, he started singing glories of Krishna. He started singing pastimes of Lord Krishna and he started chanting the holy names. And hearing this, Ishwara Puri could not control his ecstatic love for Krishna. He started jumping, dancing, and ecstatic tears started coming from his eyes. Of course, sahajiyas may also imitate these ecstatic symptoms, but Srila Prabhupada said the tears of the sahajiyas wash away the conclusion of the scriptures. But Ishwara Puri's genuine love for Krishna was recognized by all the Vaishnavas, and immediately they celebrated the arrival of Srila Ishwara Puri. Advaita Acharya embraced Ishwara Puri and put him on his lap, and Ishwara Puri soaked Advaita Acharya's body with these tears of love for Krishna. And there was this great celebration, and Ishwara Puri then stayed for many days in Navadvip at Gopinath Acharya's house. So this is how Ishwara Puri entered Navadvip. Now we can also discuss how he meets Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One day, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was walking with his students home after his class, and he saw Ishwara Puri. He was coming from the opposite direction. And Sri Ishwara Puri he was stunned to see this most attractive and beautiful personality, Nimai Pandit. And he said, "Who are you? What's your name?" Isharapuri asked. "Oh, best of Brahmanas, what book are you carrying? What do you study? Where do you stay?" And one of Nimai Pandit's students, he told Isharapuri, "Oh, great saintly person, this is Nimai Pandit." And immediately Isharapuri said, "Oh, you are that Nimai Pandit." Because Nimai Pandit was well known all over as the greatest scholar. And as Isharapuri exclaimed in great joy that you are Nimai Pandit, Lord Chaitanya immediately fell at his lotus feet and said, "Oh, great saintly person, please come to our house and bless us." And he pleaded with Srila Isharapuri. And Isharapuri accepted his invitation. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his mother, Mother Sachi, she personally cooked for Isharapuri. And Lord Chaitanya personally served. And he begged him to speak the glories of Krishna. And the whole day, for many, many hours, Isharapuri went on speaking about the glories of Krishna. This is how they met for the first time. And one of Isharapuri's best students was Gadadhar Pandit. Gadadhar Pandit, from birth, had absolutely no material contamination, no material desires at all. He only spoke about Krishna, completely attached to Lord Krishna. So Gadadhar Pandit became attached to Isharapuri, and he would go to him every day and hear from him for hours from the book that Isharapuri had written called Krishna Lilamrit. And Isharapuri would speak purports to this book, and also he would speak from this book, and Gadadhar Pandit would hear. And every evening, Lord Chaitanya would also go and hear from him about from this book, Krishna Lilamrit. And as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would hear, Isharapuri would every day feel, why am I getting so attracted to this personality, Lord Chaitanya? He couldn't understand why his love for Nimai Pandit was increasing more and more and more. He couldn't fathom that he is the Supreme Lord, because Lord Chaitanya had covered his intelligence by his Yogamaya potency. And as Isharapuri was feeling great love for Lord Chaitanya, he told him one day, "My dear Nimai Pandit, you are a great scholar. You are learned. And I have written this book, Krishna Lilamrit. It is full of faults. So why don't you please correct this book?" And immediately Lord Chaitanya said, "Only the most sinful person will try to correct you, because you are a pure devotee of Krishna. And pure devotee always, whatever he does it out of love for Krishna. And when a devotee offers his love for Krishna, that pleases Krishna. If something is pleasing to Krishna, how can there be a fault in it?" Because everything that a pure devotee speaks or writes is based on this conclusion, is based on this mood that he has love for Krishna. So one pure devotee may say Krishnaya, which he may be illiterate, and he may say Krishnaya. Another learned pure devotee may say Krishna way. Which is correct? Krishna is pleased by both, because both of them have love and devotion. Therefore, anyone who finds faults with such a devotee who has love for Krishna, that person himself is full of faults. Narad Muni also tells this to Vyasdev, that even if there is literary faults, we should not look at it. Tadvag visargo janataga viplavo yaspin pratishlokam abuddha yattapi naman anantasya shonkitanyat shunvanti gayanti grananti sadhava. That when we are glorifying Lord Krishna, even if it is abuddha yattapi, even if it is imperfectly composed, but it can bring about viplavo, it can bring about a revolution in human society. And Srila Prabhupada, in his great humility, he writes in the purport to this verse that my translation of Bhagavatam is full of literary discrepancies. Its mistakes are there, but I hope that genuine people will take shelter and this will bring about a revolution, Prabhupada writes. And Prabhupada is actually prophesizing his own achievements, which was to come a few years later. His Bhagavatam did create a revolution a few years later when he took them to America. So one should never see a pure devotee from the external point of view. That's what Lord Chaitanya is teaching us by his glorification of Sri Isharapuri. And Isharapuri was very pleased to hear Lord Chaitanya appreciate Vaishnavas and pure devotional service. But he begged him that, please, Nimai Pandit, as a service, you correct my book. Lord Chaitanya didn't say anything. And a few days later, as the class was going on, and one day after the class, on this particular day, Nimai Pandit told Ishwarapuri, in a very humble and respectful mood, in great submission, he offered his opinion. He said, you have used the word Atmane Pade. In my opinion, maybe you could use another word, Paraste Pade. Ishwarapuri said, let me consider it. And whole night Ishwarapuri thought about it. And next day morning he told Lord Chaitanya, my dear Nimai Pandit, I thought about the suggestion you gave, but I think the word Atmane Pade is perfect. You are wrong. And Lord Chaitanya, in great happiness, in great joy, he accepted correction by spiritual master. He had not yet accepted him officially as spiritual master, but he had accepted this correction. And he felt great joy in being corrected by his own guru. Just like Krishna, he would kill great demons, but he would get defeated by his coward boyfriends. Similarly, Lord Chaitanya had vanquished the great Keshav Kashmiri, the greatest scholar. But he was feeling great joy in being corrected by his own pure devotee. Therefore, also this pastime reveals how in front of our spiritual master, we should always be a fool. We should not behave foolishly. We should not act foolishly, that goes without saying. But we should consider ourselves. We should actually know, I am a fool. I am good for nothing. This pastime also reminds us of Srila Prabhupada's first meeting with Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Prabhupada's friend was dragging him to this Ulta Danga rooftop where Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was giving a class. And Abhay, that was Prabhupada's grihastha name, he said, no, I'm not interested in meeting all these sadhus. But Narendra, his friend, he insisted, he pulled him. And when they went there, Abhay had not even paid obeisances. He had not even gathered his first impression about this sadhu. And Bhaktivedanta Saraswati Thakur ordered him, you preach the message of Lord Chaitanya in the English-speaking language. But Abhay was educated in Scottish Church College. He was struck by his purity. But at the same time, Abhay wanted to challenge. Not in a challenging tone, but he questioned, how can this preaching take place when our country is a dependent nation? We have to first become independent. He posed this challenge. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, Krishna consciousness is the emergency. It cannot wait for independence. And then there began a debate, a discussion for hours. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur dismissed all the popular leaders of India as if they were of no consequence. He was taking names and he was dismissing them and establishing the urgent need for preaching Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada was struck by the boldness of his spiritual master. His penetrating logic, his clarity of thought, his unambiguity in his expression, very clear. And he surrendered his life. And Prabhupada said, and when he came down, he was very happy and proud of being defeated by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And we are so fortunate, Lord Chaitanya was ordered to preach. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur reordered us to preach. And Srila Prabhupada has given us order to preach. So we have to preach the message of Krishna consciousness. Many times you are wondering, I want to get initiation so that I can get connected to parampara. Yes, initiation is the formal connection. But when we actually follow the instructions of the parampara, then we are actually connected to the parampara. And our parampara has given us instructions to preach everywhere the message of Krishna consciousness. So we have to preach following the footsteps of our predecessor acharyas. So we can see how Ishwarapuri corrected Nimai Pandit, and Lord Chaitanya accepted this correction. This is the meeting of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ishwarapuri. We can also briefly discuss how Lord Chaitanya got initiation from Srila Ishwarapuri. Now, Ishwarapuri was experiencing transcendental restlessness because of his love for Krishna. So he couldn't stay in Navadvipa for long. So he went on his tour, went to different places, chanting and singing the glories of Krishna. Meanwhile, Lord Chaitanya also took permission from his mother and left for Gaya to offer Pinda for his ancestors. On his way to Gaya, many interesting pastimes took place. One very instructive one I thought I could share. Lord Chaitanya saw two deers enjoying, one male and female deer. And Lord Chaitanya turned to his students who are accompanying Lord Chaitanya and he told them, what is the difference between these deers and human beings? And the students couldn't say. And then Lord Chaitanya said, no difference. If human being is also interested in eating, sleeping, mating, defending, in sense gratification, he is like a deer, animal. The only difference is human beings can know about the goal of life. They can develop love for Krishna. Otherwise, if you do not awaken this dormant love for Krishna, then a human being is worse than an animal. Like this. So then Lord Chaitanya went to Mandara mountain and then when he came down from that mountain, he developed high fever, which was not explained, I mean, it was inexplicable. Very high fever and no medicine worked. And then Lord Chaitanya said, if I get the Charnamrit of the Brahmins, if somebody washes the feet of a Brahmins and then I get that Charnamrit, then I can be relieved from this fever. So they got the water that had washed the feet of a Brahmin and Mahaprabhu drank and Mahaprabhu's fever went away. So why did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu do this? Was he establishing that Brahmanas are very great? No, Vrindavan Das Thakur reveals that Eyatamam Prapadyante Tam Sateva Bhajamyam. As you love Krishna, Krishna reciprocates. And there were these devotees near Gaya, Brahmins, who were great devotees of Lord Krishna. And Lord Krishna takes great pleasure in being the servant of his own devotee. So Lord Chaitanya, he took their Charnamrit because Lord Chaitanya was in the mood of being the servant of his own devotee. Also, Chaitanya Mangal reveals another reason. When they were going towards Gaya, one of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's students, he criticized the Brahmin there because of his imperfect pronunciation of mantras and some rituals he was doing. For this student did not realize that this Brahmin is actually a pure devotee of Krishna. So Lord Chaitanya wanted to teach his student a lesson that you are criticizing him, but I am taking his Charnamrit. He is so dear to me. So like this, Lord Chaitanya performed many pastimes while going to Gaya. And finally at Gaya, he took bath at Brahmakund. And then he entered the Vishnu temple where Lord Vishnu's footprints are there. Lotus feet mark is there. And that is worship with incense, garlands, flowers, fragrance. A lot of mantras are chanted. And Lord Chaitanya became ecstatic. And he started proclaiming loudly to his students. He said, this lotus feet of Lord Vishnu, please make it as your life and soul. Lord Shiva has kept these lotus feet in his heart. These are the lotus feet that is worshipped and served by Lakshmi Devi, the goddess of fortune. These lotus feet has been put on the head by Bali Maharaj. And if you take shelter of these lotus feet, Yamraj will never touch you. The greatest of demigods cannot get darshan of these lotus feet. And you are all so fortunate that you are getting darshan of these lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. Saying like this, Lord Chaitanya was crying great tears of ecstasy. And as devotees of Lord Chaitanya, we know that we have to also take shelter of Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet. Kaviraj Goswami says in the Adilila, Tam Srimad Krishna Chaitanya Devam Vande Jagat Gurum Yasyanukampaya Shwapi Mahabdim Santaret Sukham. Very beautiful verse. He says, Tam Srimad Krishna Chaitanya Devam Vande Jagat Gurum. If we take shelter of Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet, what will happen? Then even a dog, now Kaviraj Goswami calls himself and sadhakas who are struggling, we should identify and relate ourselves to a dog. Asyanu kampaya shwapi, even a dog, if he gets the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, mahabdim santaret sukham, by holding the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya, even a dog can swim over the ocean of material existence. What is the possibility that a dog can swim over the huge Atlantic Ocean? It's not possible. So what is the possibility that a dog like sadhaka, struggling devotee, how can he, with all the anarthas, swim over the ocean of material existence? So Kaviraj Goswami says, this is the potency of Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet. So we have to take shelter of Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet and cross over this ocean of material existence. So here at Gaya, as Mahaprabhu was glorifying Lord Vishnu's lotus feet, and at that moment, Ishwarapuri also, in his travels, he reached Gaya. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he immediately bowed down and Ishwarapuri picked him up and embraced him. And then Lord Chaitanya said to Ishwarapuri, "Today my pilgrimage to Gaya has become successful because I have seen your lotus feet. I came here, I offered Pinda to my ancestors, but not all of them have been delivered. Only specific, some of them have been delivered. But by seeing your lotus feet, millions of ancestors have been delivered. Because there is no holy place more important than the lotus feet of a pure devotee." Again, Mahaprabhu is teaching us that if you are going to a holy place without the association of a pure devotee or without the blessings of a pure devotee, it is fruitless. In the first canto, we find this verse. Bhavadvida bhagavatis tirtha bhuta swayam vibho tirtha kurvanti tirthani swantasthena gadabhruta. That actually a pure devotee is a holy place personified. Generally, place means a land. And a pure devotee means a person. How can a person be the same as a land? So, Yudhishthira Maharaj is saying, Bhavadvida bhagavatis tirtha bhuta swayam vibho, that devotee is holy place because tirthi kurvanti tirthani, because the pure devotee can convert any place into a holy place. That is a pure devotee is holy place. That's why Srila Prabhupada could make New York into a place of pilgrimage. Now, when our devotees go to America, they go to that tree of Tompkins Square Park, they do parikrama, they take photo. So it's become a holy place. Prabhupada converted New York into holy place. Tirthi kurvanti tirthani. And why does a pure devotee have the ability to convert any place into a holy place? Swantasthena gadabhruta. Because he's always carrying Krishna in his heart. Wherever he goes, that place becomes Krishnaized, spiritualized. So therefore, Lord Chaitanya is telling Ishwarapuri that you have come here, so this place has actually now become holy. So like this, he glorifies him. And then Lord Chaitanya continues to say that great auspiciousness comes to holy place only when you place your lotus feet there. And I beg at your lotus feet, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu starts crying and he says, "Please pick me up. I place my wretched body before you. Please give me service to Krishna." Seeing Lord Chaitanya's intense humility and utter mood of helplessness and shelter of Ishwarapuri, Ishwarapuri starts exclaiming loudly. He says, "Oh Nimai Pandit, please listen to me. I know who you are. You are the incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Who else but the Supreme Lord alone can know and act like you are doing? I can't think of anything else other than you. Since I met you first time in Navadvip, 24 hours, whole day, I'm only thinking about you. Remembrance of you can give one unlimited happiness. And when one remembers you, it is as if one is directly present with Krishna. That is the potency of remembering you, O Nimai Pandit." So like this, Ishwarapuri glorifies Lord Chaitanya. And we also know, Kaviraj Goswami says, yes, we should always remember Lord Chaitanya. Katanchana smrite yasmin duskaram sukaram bhavet vismrite viparitam syat sri chaitanya namamitam. Katanchana smrite yasmin, somehow or the other, just remember Lord Chaitanya. What will happen? Katanchana smrite yasmin duskaram sukaram bhavet. Most impossible thing will become easy. Vismrite viparitam syat. And if you don't remember Lord Chaitanya, viparitam, the most easy thing will become most difficult. Sri Chaitanya Namamitam. Therefore, we should remember Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet always. For like this, they had a wonderful exchange. And later that evening, Lord Chaitanya was cooking prasad in his place where he was staying. And that very moment, Ishwarapuri came, chanting Krishna's name. And he saw Lord Chaitanya's cooking prasad for only one person, that is for himself. And Ishwarapuri started laughing. And he said, "I think I've come at the right time. It's time for prasad." And immediately Lord Chaitanya said, "Today is the most fortunate day. I'm the most fortunate that you have come here. And please accept this prasad." And Ishwarapuri said, "No, no. How can I accept prasad? There's only little. You should also take. Sit with me." And Lord Chaitanya refused. He said, "No, no, I can cook again later. You should take this whole prasad." And with great love, Lord Chaitanya served Ishwarapuri prasad. And after that, he decorated his body with sandalwood pulp, offered him a garland, worshipped him. And then it is said that Lakshmi Devi herself came and cooked for Lord Chaitanya. Actually, here is also a very instructive pastime how the Supreme Lord is revealing that the ultimate perfection of life is to be the servant of his own devotees. This is the ultimate achievement for a devotee. Lord actually leaves Vaikuntha to become the servant of his devotees. He is taking charanamrita of his devotees. He is cooking for his devotees. He is feeding his devotees. We have the pastime of Kolavi Sridhar. When he was asked by Lord Chaitanya what he wants, he didn't want anything, just pure devotion service, and he wanted to be servant of Vaishnavas. Dhruva Maharaj, when he was asked by Kubera for a benediction, Kubera was willing to give him anything, and Dhruva Maharaj says, give me pure devotional service. It's interesting, Prabhupada writes in that fourth canto purport, Kubera is, Prabhupada calls Kubera as king of kings. Because the logic Prabhupada says is, nobody can become a king without the mercy of Kubera, because Kubera is a treasurer amongst the demigods. So he is the king of kings and is willing to give anything to Dhruva, and Dhruva Maharaj is saying, I want pure devotional service. An interesting pastime took place when Srila Prabhupada was opening the Punjab National Bank branch at ISKCON Vrindavan, Krishna Balaram Temple. They had opened a branch of Punjab National Bank. And Prabhupada was inaugurating, after the ribbon cutting, all the bank managers and employees were there. And Prabhupada said, so all of you are representatives of Kubera. So bank employees, because Kubera is treasurer of demigods. And just like Dhruva Maharaj prayed to Kubera, I am praying to all of you, please bless me that I can get pure devotional service. Prabhupada was praying to the bank managers. So basically, this is the mood that Lord Chaitanya is teaching by cooking prasad and serving prasad to his own spiritual master, that we should aspire for this. And one of these days, when Lord Chaitanya was at Gaya, he approached Ishwarapuri in a secluded place and begged him for initiation. And Ishwarapuri said, you are asking me for initiation? It is I who should be surrendering my life at your lotus feet. But then again, Nimai Pandit, Lord Chaitanya, pleaded, and as a service, Ishwarapuri initiated him. Actually, this is the position of a guru. Ishwarapuri is teaching how the guru's position is that he is always the servant of his disciple. Srila Prabhupada also said that. He told his disciples, you are all representatives of my spiritual master. I remember once the day we got initiation, some of us brahmacharis, we went to our spiritual master's room, Solina Radhana Swami Maharaj, and we gave the dakshina, and we had prepared a kind of small speech. We thought we'll officially thank him. And he said, Maharaj, thank you for, we appreciated him, and then said, Maharaj, thank you for today giving us shelter. And we wanted to say more, but Maharaj cut us right there. He said, today I want to thank all of you for officially accepting me as your servant. I was always your servant, but today you have officially confirmed it. We couldn't say anything after that, We're just stunned. So spiritual master is always in this service, in this mood, that I am a servant of these devotees. His divine grace, Srila Bhakti Raksha Sridhar Maharaj, when he was giving initiation, at the age of 92, he was giving initiation, and there was one young lady, 22-year-old lady, she was fit to be his great-granddaughter. And he's giving her initiation, and after giving the name and the beads, he told her, so, how do you feel today, having a 92-year-old son? So he was in this consciousness that I am a servant, I am a son, like that. So one has to be in the mood of a servant of everyone. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was also in this mood, and Ishwarapuri was in this mood. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed this mood and glory of his spiritual master later, after sannyas, Mahaprabhu went to Varanasi. There he had heard how Mayavadis were criticizing Lord Chaitanya. So then Lord Chaitanya went to this meeting where Prakashan Saraswati was sitting with his many thousands of disciples. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sat in the place where they washed their feet. And Prakashan Saraswati, Lord Chaitanya displayed his Brahman effulgence. He actually displayed effulgence of more than 1,000 suns. And there was so effulgent, and Mayavadi were attracted by effulgence. So Prakashan Saraswati came and picked up Lord Chaitanya, and he said, why are you sitting here at this low place? Please come and sit with us. And Lord Chaitanya said, no, I am lowly, I am a low person, please let me be here. And then Prakashan Saraswati himself personally picked up Lord Chaitanya, and he got Agya Sukriti. And he picked him up, and then he told him that, my dear Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you are actually taken sannyas in Bharati Sampradaya. You are a great Shankara Sampradaya sannyasi. Why are you chanting and dancing like the sentimental people? Why don't you study Vedanta? And Lord Chaitanya that time glorified his spiritual master by saying, My spiritual master told me that I am a fool and I should not waste time in studying Vedanta. And he just told me that I should chant holy name. I simply followed his order. I chanted the holy name, and when I started chanting, I became ecstatic. I started crying. I went mad. And then I went to my Guru Maharaj and told him, what is this mantra you have given me? Kiba mantra dila gosai, kiba tara bal, japite japite mantra hoilo pagal. What mantra you have given me, oh my dear Goswami? What bal it has, what power it has. I'm chanting and I'm going mad. And my Guru Maharaj told me, Shileshwarapuri told me that, very good, my dear boy, you're going mad. That is a very good sign. So continue chanting like this and preaching the glories of holy name. So actually, after this order, Lord Chaitanya started preaching holy name everywhere. Even Nityananda Prabhu started preaching after Lord Chaitanya ordered him at Chandrasekhar Acharya's house. So this is also another important aspect of this pastime, how without the blessings and orders of the spiritual master and the parampara, one cannot preach without the empowerment. And we don't have any qualifications, but Lord Chaitanya has ordered us, Srila Prabhupada has ordered us, and we can also preach because of their mercy. Once devotees asked Srila Prabhupada, what is our qualification that we became devotees? Prabhupada said, you have no qualification. I created your qualification. So if you simply preach following the order of Lord Chaitanya, we can also be instruments in connecting a lot of souls, fallen souls, into the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya. Vandeshwaradbuteham tam chaitanyam et prasadata yavanasu manayante krishna nama prajalpaka. Lord Chaitanya is supremely independent. Vandeshwaradbuteham tam. But look at his adbhuta, look at his mercy. Chaitanyam et prasadata. If Lord Chaitanya is pleased, yavanasu manayante, even the yavanas, the cow eaters, krishna nama prajalpaka, simply by chanting the holy names of Krishna, they can also be delivered. This is the mission of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to deliver everyone. And our mood and our qualification is, we have to be convinced that I am fallen. We are already fallen, but we have to be convinced that I am fallen. That is our challenge. And then we get all the mercy. Lord Chaitanya's mercy flows to only those devotees who consider themselves to be meek and fallen. Kripa sudha saridhyasya vishvam aplavayantapi nicha gaiva sadabhati tam chaitanyam prabhum bhaje. Kaviraj Goswami says, just like a river always flows downwards, kripa sudha, the kripa sudha sarita, sarita means river, river of kripa sudha, sudha means nectar, the river of the river of nectar of mercy, that only flows downward. Nicha gaiva sadabhati, it flows downwards, just like a river flows downwards. So one who considers himself nicha is fit to receive this nectar of mercy. Tam Chaitanya Prabhum Bhaje. So we have to be in this mood and hope that we get Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. And at Gaya, after initiation, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went into deeper into his ecstasies and he began crying intensely for Krishna. And all his students tried to pacify him. And Lord Chaitanya said, no, leave me alone. All of you, please go back to Navadvip. I want Krishna. Where is Krishna? He went mad. And one night he started running towards Vrindavan. Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? And then a voice resounded in the sky. My dear Nimaya Pandit, you are none other than Lord Krishna. You have incarnated to distribute the holy name. Now is not the time for you to go to Vrindavan. Please go back to Navadvip. And then that's how Lord Chaitanya came back to his external consciousness. And he returned to Navadvip. And he began his Harinam Sankirtan. Lord Chaitanya also revealed Ishwarapuri's glories when Lord Chaitanya, after sannyas, was going towards Jagannath Puri, and at Remuna, he narrated the whole pastime of Sakshi Gopal, of Madhendra Puri and Kirchor Gopinath. Sorry, at Kirchor Gopinath, at Remuna. Mahaprabhu narrated, he said, I am narrating you the pastime which I have heard from my spiritual master, Srila Ishwarapuri, about his spiritual master. And that's how, there also he glorifies. And later on in South India Yatra also, Mahaprabhu meets two of his Guru Maharaj's god brothers, Ishwarapuri's god brothers, Paramananda Puri and Sriranga Puri at Pandarpur. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu respected his spiritual master's god brothers, following the Vaishnava etiquette perfectly. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Vaishnava etiquette is the ornament of a devotee. And with great respect and honor, Lord Chaitanya served his Guru Maharaj's god brothers. Advaita Acharya, Nityananda Prabhu, Pundarik Vidyanidhi, Brahmananda Bharati, they were all the god brothers of his spiritual master. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu served all of them. And when he came back to Jagannath Puri, Lord Chaitanya came back. Who came? Govinda, who was the disciple of Ishwarapuri and a god brother of Lord Chaitanya. And he came and told Lord Chaitanya that, I was the personal servant of Ishwarapuri, and before he left this world, he told me to become your servant. And Kasheshwar Pandit is also very soon coming. So both of us want to serve you. And immediately Sarvam Bhattacharya, he exclaimed, Govinda is a lower caste person. And how did Ishwarapuri accept him as his own servant? And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Ishwarapuri does not discriminate between Brahman and Shudra. And is a pure devotee, and he has the potency to make even a Brahmana or a Shudra. He has the potency to make anyone a pure devotee and more qualified than a Brahmana. That is the glory of my spiritual master. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after glorifying Ishwarapuri, then he asked a question to Sarvam Bhattacharya. My dear Sarvam Bhattacharya, Govinda is my god brother. How can I accept seva from him? Srila Prabhupada said, we should always consider our god brothers as Prabhus, and we should not accept any service from them. And here, Mahaprabhu is having this dilemma. How can I accept service from him and become his, allow him to be my servant? He is my god brother. And what did Sarvam Bhattacharya say? He said, order of the spiritual master is more important. It must be followed. Parashuram followed the order of his father, Jamadagni, and killed his own mother, Renuka. And his father was so pleased. And he said, what benediction you want? And immediately he said, please bring her back to life. That was already planned. In the sense, he knew that there is no loss in following the order of his spiritual master. So after Sarvam Bhattacharya said this, then Mahaprabhu accepted Govinda as his servant. And Govinda served not just Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but he served all the other associates of Lord Chaitanya. Basically, they were all inferior to him in position. But Govinda became their servant also. This is again how Govinda is teaching us from his example how one loves spiritual master both during the presence of his spiritual master as well as during the absence of his spiritual master. Like during the presence of his spiritual master, Govinda was serving his spiritual master humbly and menially. And after his spiritual master left, Govinda was serving the servants of his spiritual master. And he was feeling the presence of his spiritual master in them. Actually, Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj said also this during his, one of his last lectures he gave. He said that after Prabhupada left, now I am feeling the presence of Srila Prabhupada in the association of my god brothers. I was reading the transcription of one lecture Goswami Maharaj gave. And he's saying, so he's teaching us that how in the presence and absence both of the spiritual master, our relationship with the spiritual master is connected and is based on a relationship and service to his servants, spiritual master's disciples and our god brothers. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore is teaching us this principle also, how one should serve. And we can also perfect our life by being the servant of the Lord's devotees. Sri Chaitanya Padam Boja Madhupebhya Namo Nama Katanchid Ashaya Desham Swapidat Kanda Bhag Bhavet. Kaviraj Goswami says, Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet is so nectarine that we are not qualified. We are not qualified to understand what is the potency of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lotus feet. But there are pure devotees who are like bumblebees who are tasting the nectar of the lotus feet, the honey from the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya. And we are dogs. A dog cannot understand what is the fragrance of honey in a lotus flower. So he's saying, Sri Chaitanya Padam Boja Madhupebhya Namo Nama Katanchid Ashrayad Esham. Somehow get shelter of these pure devotees of Lord Chaitanya who are smelling this fragrance. Then what will happen? Shwapitat Ganda Bhag Bhavet. Even though we are a dog, we can also smell the fragrance of the honey nectar of the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because we are somehow connected to the bumblebee like pure devotees who are connected to Lord Chaitanya. So this should be our meditation as Gaur Purnima is coming. And we can also meditate on how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was a perfect example of a grahastha. When he was a grahastha, he was a perfect example. He served sadhus, he wonderfully served everyone. And when he took sannyas, he became the emblem of sannyas. Ideal example of sannyasi. So he was always setting the right example, perfect example. And in his relationship with Srila Ishwarapuri, he set the ideal example of a disciple's relationship with the spiritual master. So for us, how to be an ideal disciple, we can learn from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his relationship with his spiritual master. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Kumarahatta, the village where Ishwarapuri appeared, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started exclaiming loudly, I offer obeisances to this village because this is the village where my Guru Maharaj appeared to deliver the whole universe. And then Lord Chaitanya collected dust from this place, Kumarahatta, packed it in a bag, wrapped it around himself, and every day would eat a portion of the dust from the village of Kumarahatta. And as you would eat this, you would chant loudly that this earth, this dust is my wealth, this dust is my breath, and this dust is my very life, because this is the place where Srila Ishwarapuri appeared. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's relationship with Ishwarapuri is on two levels. One is at the internal level, where Lord is showing how he becomes a servant of his own devotee, how he is careful in pleasing his own devotee, and how he is conquered by his own devotee. This is the internal level Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is showing. The other level is Lord Chaitanya is teaching all of us how one should serve a bona fide spiritual master, in what mood we should be. And therefore, today, to conclude, we can pray to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and to Srila Ishwarapuri that we can all develop unshakable faith in the Guru Tattva, in the orders of the spiritual master, because as agents of Kali attack to destroy this foundation of our devotional service, because the whole foundation is Guru Seva, Guru Nishtha. We have to hold on more than anything else, as most dear, the instructions of the spiritual master, and take our devotional service from the level of hypocrisy to honesty, and from honesty to integrity. Honesty means basically honesty means when we do something wrong, we confess it. That is honesty. That is the basic minimum a devotee should be honest. But ideally, we have to come to the level of integrity where we live by strong ideal principles. Honesty is honesty means we tell what we have done. We tell the truth of what we have done. But integrity means we live by the truth, whatever happens. So on this most auspicious day, we can pray that we can make the instructions of the spiritual master as life and soul. Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chittete Kuriya Yakya Esya Prafadat Bhagavat Prasadu. So if we can please the spiritual master, then with all the baggage of lust and with all the baggage of unnecessary things, our lives can still become meaningful if we can somehow get attached to the lotus feet of the spiritual master. And only then we can get the shelter of Lord Krishna. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Shila Ishwarapuri Ki Jai. Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu Ki Jai. Shila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Nitai Gaur Premanande. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.